Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket was there the last time the Rangers made the playoffs in 1999. And we're here with you this time, too.
Baseball Hot Dog! Download, you're ready for Diamond Talk!
It's the American League Championship Series, Rangers Yankees. And this is our award-winning postseason postgame show, Diamond Talk. Sean Bass and the rest of the Ticket team takes their swings at playoff baseball. Brought to you by StubHub, Alltex Computers and Electronics, and Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket.
Ladies and gentlemen, Ranger fans, P1s, everybody that's ever attended a Ranger game or watched a Ranger game on TV or ever played catch with your father, your Texas Rangers are going to the World Series for the first time ever, capturing the American League pennant tonight here at the ballpark, beating the hated New York Yankees in Game 6 by a score of 6-1. Wow. Wow. Good evening. I'm Sean Bass alongside Stu Cedar tonight here, hard next to the temple at the Youth Ballpark. It's your Texas Rangers. Are going to the World Series, Stu. I can't believe this just happened.
It is amazing.
It's like an amazing dream of all the unlikelihoods in this absolutely magical roller coaster ride of a freaking season. Just another chapter in one of the greatest sports novels yet to be written. The 2010 Texas Rangers are heading to the Fall Classic. Wow, beating the Yankees at the ballpark. We see fireworks, we see smoke from the fireworks billowing from the temple. The crowd's still roaring.
Confetti flying over us all the way over here at the Youth Ballpark before 51,404 fans got to witness something we have never seen in the history of Ranger baseball. 50 years have been exercised now for this franchise, including their time spent in Washington. They will be heading to the World Series. It really is amazing. And exercising the demons has basically been what this whole season has been about. And the irony, I believe it's irony, that Alex Rodriguez is standing at the plate for the potential last out to send the Rangers to the World Series, and he takes a curveball for a called third strike. Come on, Sean, it doesn't write. You can't write it any better. Congratulations to the organization, to everybody we've worked with for all these years. We talked with the greatness of Chuck Morgan before the game
was
open. He will join us later. It is just an unbelievable time, and once again, I just say exercising the demons, and they've exercised another one, and they have one more to go now.
And everybody was worried after the loss in Game 5. The Rangers missed their first chance to win the pennant on the road two nights ago. And tonight, here at home, they owned this game. The atmosphere, absolutely electric from first pitch to the very end. And we didn't even start on time tonight. Mother Nature almost got in the way at the beginning.
Yeah.
During the national anthem, B.J. Thomas is out there singing in the rain.
By the way, major gamer to him tonight. If there's game balls in baseball, he would get one.
He would get one of them tonight. A major downpour, half the field covered with the tarp, and then you have the Marines standing in the middle of the diamond with the color guard. And, of course, they can't move during the anthem, so half the field gets drenched. We started 4 minutes late, but it didn't really matter. Rain and the elements could not subside this Ranger crowd at full throat tonight. Like you said, 51,404 answered the bell at every freaking turn. Wow. Colby Lewis pitches the Rangers into the World Series. 8 innings, giving up 1 run on 3 hits, striking out 7, and he put an exclamation point on the end of his outing tonight, striking out the side in the 8th inning. And, you know, everybody talked about Cliff Lee possibly, you know, being in the back pocket for Game 7. Well, guess what, folks? He's starting Game 1 of the World Series against the San Francisco Giants or the Philadelphia Phillies.
Yeah, just an amazing outing for Colby Lewis, and we'll be able to talk ad nauseum to this tonight. But here's his pitch total tonight. 102 pitches through 8 innings. 8 innings. 34 of those were balls. 68 strikes, Sean Bass, for Colby Lewis, and he was absolutely great. And like you said, major exclamation point in the 8th inning. And I think one of the keys, Sean, and we'll get into a lot of the keys in this game, how the Rangers were able to get this done in a 6-1 win. That once again, and we will say this ad nauseum tonight, The Rangers are going to
the
World
Rangers
Series.
The Rangers are going to the World Series.
Every time we say they're going to the World Series, and we will say that so much you'll get sick of it, but you can never get
you
sick of hearing that.
You cannot get sick of that.
But after the Rangers really put this game out of reach after the fifth inning, I thought it was so important when Colby Lewis took the mound in the top of the sixth again with the nemesis Brett Gardner leading off,
yes.
And then you had the first and second hitter coming up, and what does he do? 1-2-3. Shuts the Yankees down after the Rangers scored four runs in that fifth inning, and I thought that was absolutely huge.
If you're going to win in the postseason in big games like this, you have to have the shutdown inning. The Rangers really just turned the game on its ear in the fifth inning, like you said, four runs, and wow, I mean, just that place was the loudest I've ever heard it during that rally. In the fifth, the Rangers start off with a single from Mitch Moreland. And then Elvis Andrus grounds out, and Michael Young also grounds out to the pitcher. And at that point, Mitch Moreland's on third base, so Josh Hamilton gets intentionally walked. Three times he was intentionally walked tonight. Five times in the series. That is an American League Championship Series record, five intentional walks. And they did it back in the third inning, and Vlad Guerrero popped out to end a threat. But here, Vladdy hits a laser beam off the left center field wall over Curtis Granderson, scoring two runs, making it 3-1 at that point. And that place was going banana pants. And just to add to the just white-hot electric excitement in the park, the very next hitter with two strikes, Nelson Cruz hits a blast to left center field, a two-run homer, and that just ripped this game open.
And that, as we talked about, keys in this game and keys in this series is runners in scoring position with two outs. The Rangers were absolutely phenomenal in this six-game series. And in that inning, that fifth inning that Sean just mentioned, all runs in that fifth inning were scored with two outs.
Two-out rally. It was the key tonight. Vladimir Guerrero, three RBIs. Colby Lewis, eight innings pitch and one run. They are our co-players of the game, our Altex computers and electronic electric players of the game, an electric atmosphere, a 6-1 victory over the Yankees. If you want to call in, 214-787-1310 or #1310 as the Rangers are heading to the Fall Classic. And there's one gentleman I want to talk to right now, the old-school pioneer of his craft, a guy that used to call Ranger games on television, our very own and our good friend, Norm Hitzkus, on our guest line right now. Norm, obviously we're going to get to the details of this game. What's going through your heart right now?
Well, I remember seeing the first game in this park. I remember seeing a Frank Howard hit a home run off Clyde Wright. I was there for the first game in 1972 here, and I've been here to cover this team for 38 years. And quite honestly, there were moments, especially over the early part of this decade, I never thought the Rangers would get there. I didn't think they had the organization to get there. Didn't think they had the talent base to get there. But what a magnificent day for the fans of this area. That's my thought here. That the fans in this area, even when this club was struggling along as a 70-some win team a few years ago, there were still more than 2 million of them coming out to the park. And even though days were really dark for those fans, where there was not the kind of light you could see based on a huge minor league system, they still came out. This is just a spectacular day for the fans of this club.
Norm Hitzkus joined us here on Diamond Talk. After a 6-1 win by your Texas Rangers over the New York Yankees in Game 6 of the ALCS, that sends them to the World Series. You know, like you said, Norm, you've seen it all since 1972. In your wildest dreams, could you imagine the Colby Lewis performance tonight?
Well, that was an extraordinary performance. I did not see whether or not they named him the player of the series, but I think that's a slam dunk. Winning games 2 and 6 and pitching brilliantly in both of them. I almost hoped that the Rangers let him come out for the ninth inning tonight, but I could see why they didn't. Lewis found something in Japan. He refound himself as a pitcher in Japan. And his numbers in Japan, in fact, the very, very highly touted Daisuke that came over here, Matsuzaka, Lewis's numbers in Japan were not that far off Daisuke, who between the posting fee and his salary cost the Red Sox more than $100 million. guys, does 2 years and $5.5 million for Colby Lewis now look like an incredible investment?
It's one of the biggest bargains in all of baseball. And speaking of bargains, with the year Vladimir Guerrero put up this year, a cast off from the Angels, they didn't want him anymore. He leads the club in RBIs, and yes, he hasn't been very good in the postseason. And for the last few weeks, we've been fielding calls on your show, Norm, about how folks might want him to move in the order, but tonight in the fifth inning, he comes through in a major, major way. And obviously, you know, with the respect they show for Josh Hamilton intentionally walking him three times tonight, Joe Girardi and the coaching staff of the Yankees also felt that Vlad was not in a good way. But that's the thing with Vlad. He's like a cobra just waiting to strike. He just needs one good pitch to hit.
Well, they showed, I don't know, in my humble opinion, far too much respect for Josh Hamilton tonight, because you take your chances with Vlad. I think when you continually say, I'm going to try to let Vlad Guerrero beat me, a guy that led the major leagues in two out runs batted in, that drove in 115 runs, I guess really what you're saying there is, I'll put one more bullet in the chamber and hope when I spin it, Vlad doesn't come up well in it. And he came up with a bullet off the left center field fence. That inning, though, was set up again by the incredible aggressiveness of Ron Washington.
Yes.
Hitting and running to get a man to second base. If the runner is not at second base with two outs, then they do not walk Hamilton. They pitch to Hamilton and try to work him. Guys, I also thought, I know this is a wonderful night for Rangers to celebrate. I thought again, Joe Girardi is going to get deeply second-guessed for his bullpen choice in the fifth inning. Once the Rangers were ahead 3-1, you had to stop them right there. And to put David Robertson in the game and then warm up Kerry Wood, is Joe Girardi telling us that David Robertson was a better bet to stop the Rangers cold there at a 3-1 deficit than Kerry Wood? I found that again, as with the Burnett failure to take him out of the game in the sixth inning the other night, I found that to be a really strange choice. But in the end, it doesn't matter. The Rangers are doing very, very, very little with Colby Lewis, who had all three of his pitches tonight. Fortunately, this isn't a game where any of the second guessers can say, oh, if this pitch or if that wild pitch or if that call by the umpire, the Rangers simply beat the Yankees up in this series. And if you look at this series closely, it finished 4-2, and only a bullpen collapse by the Rangers kept them from actually being a 5-1 winner in six games, if you will.
Wow. Your Texas Rangers are heading to the World Series for the first time, beating the Yankees in Game 6 tonight at the ballpark, 6-1. To the Fall Classic we go. Colby Lewis, 8 innings, 1 run. Tonight, Vlad gets 3 RBIs, a big 2-run homer from Nelson Cruz. Right now, we are joined by the great Norm Hitzkus on the guest line. And Norm, let's talk a little bit about Vladdy. I think Nelson Cruz, rather. Everybody was just worried sick the other night when he comes out of the game in the fifth inning with a hamstring. But clearly, the hamstring didn't give him any problems tonight. And clearly, you know, missing those last few innings did nothing to his timing, because that ball in the fifth inning, he absolutely crushed off Dave Robertson.
That was crushed. It was a fat pitch, and Nelly Cruz jumped all over it for yet another 2-strike hit. Nelly Cruz has been remarkable in this series, hitting with 2 strikes. You don't think of Nelly Cruz as the kind of guy that's going to hit a lot with 2 strikes on him. He's not the kind of guy that you think of as, oh, he'll foul off a lot of pitches. Oh, he'll work the count deeper. Oh, he'll go to right field with a single or anything like that. But he was just terrific in this series, as were the Rangers, by the way, hitting with 2 strikes in this series. And he hits another bomb. Thank heavens his hamstring was okay. He now gets a few days to rest it if he isn't 100%. The Rangers can set up their rotation exactly the way they want it and their lineup exactly the way they want it, given whoever they'll face in the series.
Game 1 of the World Series Wednesday, plenty of time for the Rangers to rest. And Norm, I know that Colby Lewis, you know, made an argument for the MVP of this series, Josh Hamilton as well, you know, being such a threat, 4 home runs, but for me, and I don't know about you, and we haven't talked about this prior, to me, Elvis Andrus is the MVP of this playoff so far for the Rangers. Obviously, a double scoring a run in the first inning, but, you know, he really helped that inning move along in the fifth by getting Mitch Moreland over to second base with a ground ball to the right side. And I know tonight, you know, he only goes 1-for-5 at the plate, but defensively what he's done in this series and setting the table, and I know he had, you know, his ups and his downs and his good streaks and bad streaks during the regular season, but you cannot ask for a better top-of-the-order player than Elvis Andrus.
Well, and what you really wonder about Elvis Andrus is he's in the major leagues probably by the given age of the progression of players. He's in the major leagues about 3 years now before he should be.
It's incredible, isn't it?
What's his career going to be like, literally? I mean, this is a 22-year-old player hitting at the top of the lineup, performing brilliantly in playoff pressure. What's his career going to be like here? I know that people will bring back some of the trades that John Daniels first made when he got here, but the trade that brought Andrus over here and Feliz over here now looks like such a monster steal for the Rangers.
It was an absolute master stroke, and it's something that John Daniels can make an entire career on, really. I mean, no matter what he does as a GM in the future, you can, and if the Rangers do happen to win the World Series this year, and Elvis leading off and Nefty closing it out, he will have that reputation as one of the brilliant GMs moving forward.
Yeah, the Mets are going to fire an enormous amount of money at
sure.
him. I don't think there's any way he leaves the Rangers. The wonderful thing for the Rangers is, unlike some other surprise postseason entrants, the teams that bubble up and then bubble back, the Rangers look like they have the kind of base here that will provide a contender for years to come. They have not frittered away their farm system in pursuit of veterans to load the roster. They've still got a wonderful set of prospects here. There's not much age on this team at all. There appears to be on the way several young pitchers to keep feeding the rotation here. And finally, there appears to be an ownership that will spend not lavishly, but certainly enough to keep a very good team on the field.
Norm Hitzkus join us here on Diamond Talk after a Rangers 6-1 win over the New York Yankees closes them out, and the Rangers are heading to the World Series. Hey, Norm, another thing about this Ranger team is getting on the board first, and we saw it again tonight where they were able to scratch out a run in the bottom of the first inning. You know, you've been around a long time. For a young team, I think it allows them to exhale a little bit and get their confidence even higher than it already is. Wouldn't you agree?
Well, I would agree, and let's go to the other dugout with that, too. The team under pressure tonight was the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
And I've got on my notes, in the bottom of the first inning, pressure going up in New York. Because when the Rangers got immediately ahead in this game, that is something the Yankees certainly wanted to do here. The Yankees wanted to get ahead here, and just a run, and just start to plant a little seed of doubt in the Rangers. It didn't happen.
Well, it's interesting, Norm. In Game 5, you saw A-Rod being very aggressive, you know, trying to take the plate on Nelson Cruz early on in that game as they took an early lead. Tonight, you see Curtis Granderson with two outs trying to steal, but he gets neutralized by Benji Molina. So, obviously, those signs show you that the Yankees were definitely under pressure in the series.
They were. They were trying to take the lead, and actually, Granderson had that base stolen.
He did.
But for a poor slide, the foot bounced a little and bounced up. He actually had the throw slightly beaten there. Kudos to the umpire for not making the usual type of, well, the runner beat the throw, safe call.
Right.
Randazzo did a good job studying that play and saw the foot bounce and skim over the bag. And I think the key to the goodness of that call was Granderson never said a word to him.
Well, Norm, you know, the other thing in this game that, as you talked about, you know, the Rangers really did beat up the Yankees, and it's not a fluke that the Rangers are moving on to their first World Series. And you look at this game, and it just, when I sat up there watching it and thinking that the Yankees tied this game on that fluke play where they didn't say that it hit Nick Swisher in the knee, all I kept thinking was about you thinking, you know, instant replay and everything. I'm glad the Rangers got the runs they did so we didn't have to look back on that particular play.
In retrospect, thank God it was not called a hit batsman.
Right.
Because then if the Rangers decide not to hold the runner at first base and Posada doubles down into the right field corner, both runners score on the ball
right.
that was hit down there. Mm-hmm. So it did at the time let the Yankees score a run, but as the inning progresses, if it would have progressed the other way,
right.
the followed along, the Yankees would have had an extra runner. And quite honestly, that's the one inning that Colby Lewis was not very sharp tonight, and not very sharp at all. A-Rod had an 8-pitch double to start it. Berkman hit a shot that was caught. And then the bounced play to hit Swisher, then Posada's double. That's the kind of inning that normally the Yankees may have produced two or three, but the Yankees didn't produce multiple runs. In fact, in this entire series, in six games, the Yankees had only three multi-run innings. The Rangers had 12 multi-run innings in the series. The Yankees had three. They had the eighth inning in Game 1 and two innings in Game 5. In Games 2, in Game 6. In Games 2, 3, 4, and 6, the Yankees did not produce a multi-run inning.
Wow. I wouldn't have taken that bet if you told me that heading in.
No. No. The Yankees are a good offensive team, and good Ranger pitching stopped the Yankees. Good Ranger pitching stopped the Yankees.
Visiting with Norm Hitzkus live on Sports Radio 1310, the Ticket Diamond Talk, as the Rangers celebrate their first ever American League pennant, going to the World Series for the first time, taking Game 6 over the Yankees at the Temple 6-1. Fans starting to pile out of the Temple. You can still hear echoes just off in the distance as we were at the youth ballpark, maybe 500 yards away from the Temple tonight. Norm, I wish you could have been out here tonight because the crowd was absolutely electric. And I know a lot, you know, Ranger fans in the past have been called, you know, sort of bandwagon fans or you know, fans that aren't as educated as maybe like Yankee fans or Red Sox fans or Cardinals fans. But tonight, you have to give them an incredible amount of credit for making this a home field advantage.
Well, we saw the very start of the series, Sean. We sat in left field, in the first area in left field for Game 1. And we sat there marveling how in Game 1, Ranger fans were revved out the roof, that they were standing in the fourth inning of Game 1 screaming. And both of us sort of thought, wow, these people are going to be exhausted if this series goes seven games. But, you know, we're into another area where Ranger fans have never been before. And that's wonderful. That's why you're a sports fan. You're a sports
Absolutely.
Fan for a moment, a day, a week, a month, a season like this. Now, I don't know where this series goes from here. Does it go to San Francisco? Does it go to Philadelphia?
It doesn't matter, really.
No. You know? Philadelphia is the better talented team. San Francisco has a knack to them of squeezing out tight wins. It will be interesting to see the matchup, whoever it is, because if you face the Phillies, you're facing a very highly paid, very experienced, veteran baseball team. Now, if it is the Phillies, if they rally in the two games at home to beat San Francisco,
mm-hmm.
realize the Rangers would then have a chance to hit the trifecta. They have beaten the two American League teams with the best records in the American League. If it is Philadelphia and Texas beats Philadelphia, they would win the World Series by beating the three best teams in Major League Baseball this year by regular season record.
Only adding to what has been just an absolutely amazing, amazing season. Norm, I can't thank you enough for calling in on such a magical, special night. And the fact that you've been covering this team since its inception, you've done a fantastic job. And I really admired the work you've done over the years. And I'm glad that you and so many others tonight get to celebrate it.
Well, enjoy being the host of the first ever We're Headed for the World Series Diamond Talk for Ranger Baseball.
It feels pretty good. Norm, you have a great night. Have a great weekend, and I will talk to you on Monday, my friend.
I'm glad.
Thanks, Norm.
That is the great Norm Hitzkus joining us here on Diamond Talk as your Texas Rangers beat the Yankees 6-1, capturing the American League flag and heading to the World Series.
Say it again.
For the first time ever. Fans, can we cheer a little?
The World Series!
Just,
Woo!
Just an absolutely stellar, stellar summer, one that none of us will ever forget. And these memories that we've had along the way will be etched in our souls for a long, long time. Right now, 10:36 here on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. Coming up next on Diamond Talk, we take your calls at 214-787-1310. I'm sure we're going to hear from the Sterminator. I'm sure we're going to hear from Ryan's later in the night. We're going to hear from Jubb and all the Ticket guys. And let the celebration commence. Rangers win 6-1. More Diamond Talk next. It is 10:46 here on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket. High fives all around for the Ranger Nation. Going to the World Series for the first time in franchise history. Do the claw. Get your antlers up. Your Rangers are heading to the Fall Classic, beating the Yankees tonight by a score of 6-1 in Game 6 of the American League Championship Series. A mob scene after Nephtalie Feliz gets A-Rod looking to end the game. The team took a victory lap after the game to celebrate it with the 51,404 on hand tonight. You had Ron Washington getting doused with a bucket of ice water out on the field, and you had Josh Hamilton being awarded the American League MVP trophy. As I am trying to focus here, as it is just a train of high fives coming by the booth. I'm Sean Bass.
Get your claws up.
Two-seater.
Get your claws up, everybody. That's Let me see your antlers.
Woo! Absolute chaos out here at the Youth Ballpark. Wow, absolutely insane. I'm sorry for our lack of professionalism. The great Mike Bassick is giving me a hug right now, and I couldn't be
happier. Oh, my God.
Right,
how you doing, Mike?
All the way from Lubbock. Thank you. All right, guys. We do have to broadcast a show right now. We'll give you as many high fives as you need, but we got to reel it in just a little bit. But you know what? Go nuts tonight. Enjoy this one. Relish it. Suck the marrow out of life this beautiful, beautiful night as the Rangers beat the Yankees 6-1 in Game 6 of the ALCS and are going to the freaking World Series. A four-run fifth inning was the difference. Vladdy has a big two-run double. Nelson Cruz a two-run shot, all in support of Colby Lewis, who gets the win. 2-0 in this series against the Yankees. He goes 8, 1 run, 3 hits, 7 Ks. I don't know if you heard it a minute ago amongst all the chaos, but again, I'll repeat it. Josh Hamilton, your MVP in this series tonight, intentionally walked three times, which was a big key in that four-run fifth inning. And just the Ranger Nation is just giddy and it just beside themselves tonight. And honestly, it's really hard to do a show right now because inside I am just swelling with emotion and happiness.
And you should be, because like we talked earlier, 50 years for this franchise, when you include, you know, being in Washington, that they have not been to the World Series. But now all the Ranger fans in front of us will never, ever have to worry about that ever again.
Listen to Stu playing to the crowd. I freaking love it. Oh, my goodness. All right, we do actually have to do a show here. We heard from Norm Hitzkus last segment, and right now on our guest line here on Diamond Talk, Craig Jr. Miller joins us celebrating this first Ranger trip to the World Series. Craig, I know it's loud out here, but do you have us?
Yes, I've got you guys, and I just wanted to report that I just flipped it over to the Weather Channel, and the forecast is for a hard freeze in hell tonight.
Snowflakes in Hades. Craig, I know you have been covering this team forever, just like many of our coworkers have, and I know you were a junior Ranger back in the day. What does this night mean for you personally?
You know, I'm sitting here soaking all of this in, watching the post game, and thinking about the Rangers in the last 40 years and what this city's feeling tonight. I think this is the coolest moment that we've ever had in Dallas-Fort Worth sports, and I'll tell you why, because the Cowboys, okay, they were bad in the 60s, but then they started winning, and they won their first Super Bowl 12 years into their existence.
Right.
So that's 12 years of suffering.
Mm-hmm.
The Stars, when they moved here, they won a Stanley Cup, and they'd only been here for 5 seasons, so, you know, we didn't really suffer a whole lot then.
Yeah, near instant success.
Yeah, and the Mavericks, you know, it took them 25 years to get to the NBA Finals, or 26 years, but, you know, back in the 80s, they made it to the Western Conference Finals, and they had playoff success. The Rangers have had nothing for 40 years, nothing, and now they're going to the World Series, and it's completely surreal, and I think the emotions that we're feeling about this are so much different than we felt for any other team ever before.
This has been just an incredibly, I keep saying the word magical, but that's what it's been. I mean, you go back just the ownership issue aside, Ron Washington's cocaine situation, the uncertainty for a while with catcher, you bring in a guy like Rich Harden, you pay Scott Feldman money to be at the front of your rotation. They don't even make your playoff roster at the end. You have Neftali Feliz as a rookie closer, you know, supplanting Frankie and saves 40 games, and then you have Josh Hamilton get really surpasses 2008 form and put together an MVP season. And it's like we've been saying for a long time, Craig, this is one of the best sports novels still being written.
Yeah, no kidding. If you go back to April or May, and like you said, Harden and Feldman are struggling at the top of the rotation. If you had said back then the Rangers are going to the World Series, I would have said, maybe in a year or two or three when all this young talent matures and maybe if they can add something to the rotation. Never would I have guessed they were going this year. Never would I have guessed they were going to knock off the Yankees. It's unbelievable.
Craig Miller joined us here on Diamond Talk after a 6-1 Ranger win that sends them to the World Series. Craig, I'm sorry. I have to start every time like that because I might not ever be able to say that again in my broadcasting career, and I know you're going to say it a lot on Monday, but you mentioned, you know, we talked about exercising so many demons for this team. Who would have thought that the Rangers beat the Yankees to get Cliff Lee to come to them before the Yankees did? Are you kidding me?
About that, it's just what a great year it's been for John Daniels. I know the votes are already in. If he doesn't win Executive of the Year, though, there's something wrong with the voting process. To steal Lee out from underneath the Yankees at the trade deadline, all the other little moves like Molina that paid off big in the postseason, it's been an incredible 2-3 year run for John Daniels, where everything he touches pretty much turns to gold, and look what it's culminated in, a World Series trip. Unbelievable. Everything's come together. Everybody from the ownership to Nolan to John Daniels to Ron Washington to the players, it's like what do they call it? Serendipity, right? When it all just kind of comes together magically. And
it's
that's
the perfect storm.
And as I play to the crowd once again, Craig, how great was it that A-Rod took a called third to end the game? Does it get much better again, Craig?
No, to have either be A-Rod or Teixeira to strike out to give the Rangers their first trip to the World Series, it couldn't be any more perfect.
Well, Craig, and by the way, Craig Jr. Miller joining us here on Diamond Talk as your Rangers are heading to the Fall Classic for the first time, beating the Yankees 6-1 tonight in Game 6 of the ALCS. Josh Hamilton, your series MVP. Colby Lewis, 8 innings tonight, 1 run, picks up his second win in this series in front of just an amazing, amazing crowd tonight. And Craig, I know that, you know, throughout the year as the season's unfolded on your show, you've been a little critical of Ron Washington, and I too agree with you. I don't think he's the best in-game manager, but you must admit his incredible hold on that room and getting everything he can out of his players.
You know, I told George the other day on our show, I said, I get it now. I get Ron Washington. I understand what he means to this team and why he's so great. He's always been lovable. But now I think I understand it. And, you know, I go back a couple years, and maybe you guys can help freshen the memory here. Do you remember when he went to the mound? This is maybe 2 years ago, 3 years ago maybe. Even.
CJ, correct?
Was it CJ?
It was 2 years ago.
Yeah, who
flipped
him the ball and walked off the mound, and Ron grabbed him by the arm and yanked him back on the mound and said, no, we're going to do this the right way.
Right.
And it's kind of just trickled down from that moment. You know, he's a guy, and we don't see it a lot in this town, he's a guy that I think the players really do respect, and I think they really do kind of, you know, I can't see Wade ever doing that to a player, right?
No, not at all.
And so you've got that leadership, and it trickles down, and then you've seen it finally, you know, manifest on the field in taking the extra base and playing hard, being aggressive, stress fielding, he's stress running the bases, and now it's all... It's come to light now this year, and I get Wash now, I do.
Well, Craig, you know, we talked about, you know, Josh having an MVP-type season, and obviously this series MVP, but I was talking to Norm about this last segment. In my mind, Elvis Andrus is the MVP of this postseason, the way he set the table, and the way he set the table for big innings, too, and just being the prototypical leadoff hitter, as I share a hug with Pete Stanton for some reason. But to me, he's the MVP of the postseason so far, and it goes back to your point about John Daniels being, you know, the Executive of the Year. I mean, that Mark Teixeira trade was an absolute masterstroke.
And Elvis is doing all of this, and he's only 12 years old. That's the amazing thing.
It is amazing.
All right, hey, I'm going to let you guys go. I know you got a lot to do. This one's for all my fellow Dr. Pepper Jr. Rangers for the past 40 years who've been suffering and sitting out at the ballpark and sitting out at the old Arlington Stadium. Savor this night. This is great stuff.
Craig, thank you so much for joining us, and we'll talk to you Monday.
See you guys.
And that is Craig Jr. Miller joining Diamond Talk here on Sports Radio 1310. The ticket is the Rangers are heading to the World Series, which doesn't get old, and fans love it. An incredible crowd tonight, a 6-1 victory. Colby Lewis was just outstanding. And what's that back there at the station? What did you guys just say? All right, we have... And just give us a moment. We are going to get some live reaction from the clubhouse. Obviously, the champagne bath going on in the clubhouse at Rangers Ballpark. Hopefully, we can give you a live look at or a live listen to what's going on down there. But, you know, we talked about all the great, you know, things that have added up to this perfect storm, this
right.
Serendipitous year, as Craig said. But
and he's right, because, you know, the guy on the mound today, basically a guy that nobody really thought when the Rangers signed him for $5.5 million for 2 years.
Mm-hmm.
Everybody went, oh, really? We're bringing him back?
And they promised him a rotation spot.
Right,
that's
exactly.
What surprised everybody.
Yeah, but Colby Lewis did the job tonight. So once again, it's another guy you add to the list. The superstars came through on this team and Josh Hamilton and Michael Young and Nelson Cruz. But then you add a Colby Lewis, you add Benji Molina halfway uh-huh. through the year, and then you just do the major, major pickup, you know, of Cliff Lee, and it's all of a sudden this happens, and it really is magical. There's no question about it.
Well, let's try to get a listen at what's going on down in the Ranger clubhouse right now on our guest line. Our very own reporter, Drew Boyce, is down in the bowels of the clubhouse. And, Drew, I don't know if you can hear me amidst all the yelling, but just give me an idea of what kind of chaos and celebration is going on right now. Hey, Drew, can you hear us? All right, you know what? We're gonna have to put Drew on hold because I can't hear anything he's saying.
We're gonna have plenty of chaos right here
yeah.
in a minute again.
I don't know if you could hear.
Like I said,
I think the clubhouse sounds something like this right now.
Exactly.
Just less champagne and ginger ale. So, well, and you know what? Let's talk about the Yankees just real quick as the Rangers beat New York 6-1. And I know...
Well, they will talk about them.
They're talking about them. But let's... yeah, let's get Jim Sundberg on if we can. All right, 10:50.
Yeah, Rangers locker room, we're covered with champagne here. Jim, talk about your feelings right now, having been with the organization so long, and what you feel about these guys and the team this year.
No, it's just tremendous. It's obviously celebration is what it's all about, and these guys have worked hard. A lot of people worked hard from the scouts,
oh.
the development people, the minor league coaches, managers. You know, JD and Thad have a great team.
And
of course, Nolan and
Chuck. I understand
Chuck
that cell phone's cutting out, so we'll go ahead and cut him loose, I guess. Because
it is
that's too bad of a connection right now. We can't have that. But, you know.
Come on, say it again.
The Rangers are going to the World Series.
The Rangers are going to the World Series!
Cannot believe it. But let us, and bear with me here, let's not start a Yankee suck chant just yet, but let's look at the Yankees and let's put things in perspective of what the Rangers did. They beat the American League East champion Rays, who had more wins than New York, and then New York, the defending world champions, 27 rings, 41 pennants, and A-Rod to end it. How much sweeter is it? I mean, this isn't like beating, I don't know, the Angels or
right.
the Red Sox. They slayed the Dragon the first
right.
time they ever won the pennant. That makes it even sweeter.
And as I've said, this whole season to me has been about exercising the demons.
Yes.
And the biggest demon they had come not only regular season, but come playoff time, where they had only won one game against this team. One game in three different times of making the postseason.
Yep.
And they were able to slay this, you know, big Dragon, the big boy,
yes.
on the block. And not only, I mean, take away the one inning in game one, right?
Could have been a sweep.
It could have been a sweep. I mean, there is no doubt who the better team was. No question. It was your Texas Rangers.
As Stu Cedar riles up the crowd here at the Youth Ballpark.
We're going to the World Series!
Sean Bass, Stu Cedar, Diamond Talk at the Youth Temple, hard next to the Temple. Again, our Altex Computers and Electric Players of the Night, Colby Lewis, we've talked about him. And our co-MVP was Vladimir Guerrero. That is money well spent on Vladimir Guerrero. And when he hit that double off the wall over Curtis Granderson's head, that was the highest moment of elation of the night. That's when everybody in the crowd could really start smelling it, and everybody starts thinking, oh, you know, this is a magical team, but, you know, the Yankees are still there. That's when destiny really showed up tonight.
Yeah, and then to add a little insult to injury, Mr. Cruz said, you know, that leg's really not bothering
me. Not bad.
I'm going to hit one about 410 feet right after that.
You know, but let's also talk about the role players, and Junior was mentioning it. What about Benji Molina tonight, drawing a walk? Actually, no, he didn't draw. I'm looking at the line of Mitch Moreland, the rookie.
Right.
In his first swim, draws a big walk there in the third inning, gets stranded at third, but then he scores the first run, leading off that fifth inning with a single. And, you know, he didn't have, you know, the best night tonight, going 1-for-4. But in this series, he made the Yankee pitchers work. And that was one key throughout this series. And I know that everybody was worried about the Yankees and their offensive approach, and could our pitching hold up, because, you know, they'll take pitches, they'll foul pitches off, they'll run that pitch count up. The Rangers were more Yankee-like in this series. And you add the aggression on the base path, it looked like a better team won this series.
Oh, there's no question about it. And you go back to that in the fifth inning, where the Rangers really took this game over with, you know, the four runs that they have. All runs at that inning were scored after two outs.
Uh-huh.
And also on top of that, the big hit by Vlad Guerrero was on a 1-2 pitch.
Right.
So, you know, you have two outs and two strike hitting. Norm talked about it when we had him on earlier, how important that is. The Yankees weren't able to accomplish that at any time during the series, except really in game five.
And, you know, Vlad obviously had the big two-run double. Let's not forget, in the first inning, he drove in this game's first run to really set the tone. Runners on first and third with one out. Vladimir Guerrero hits sort of an excuse-me ground ball to the right side. Josh Hamilton broke for second on the play.
Thank you.
Rangers again trying to be aggressive early, and once again it pays off. And, you know, whether Josh went on his own volition or it was a call by Ron Washington, you have to love the aggressive nature of this Texas Ranger club and what it's morphed into. Because let's all remember, there were points many times throughout the regular season we were cursing at our televisions or here at the ballpark because the Rangers had a very willy-nilly style of base running. But as Ron Washington gave his players the freedom to figure it out and learn on the fly, It's safe to say that paid off.
Well, going into this game, the Rangers had been 15 for 17 in steal attempts, and those 15 steals are the second most by any team in the postseason. The only team ever to have more was the Tampa Bay Rays back in 2008 when they had 24. By the way, we have at least four more games to be able to, accomplish that. So being able to run, set the tone, and set the tone early, they were able to do that again in this game.
They set the tone. They have a four-run fifth. The Cobra goes eight innings, and Nefty nails it down in the ninth. It all adds up to a 6-1 victory in game six over
the
Yankees.
Say it again.
And your Texas Rangers are going, finally, to the World Series. Unbelievable. Unbelievable. All right. We will be taking your calls throughout the night at 214-787-1310 or pound 1310, but we are joined by another special guest, Bob the Sterminator Sturm, on our phone lines right now. And Bob, I got to admit, it's a little hard to broadcast being so happy right now, especially with a raucous crowd out here. So if you could, just bring us some professionalism right now and give us your take on what you saw tonight.
I can't, you know, it's so hard to believe. It's so hard to believe you can actually say the Rangers. The Rangers have won the American League pennant. Now it's on to the World Series. What a story on so many levels, guys. I was talking about what makes us different and unique is just level of expectation, you know, where when the Cowboys or the Mavs or even the Stars, when they won, it was kind of, or when they came close to the Mavs case, it was kind of, you know, they were kind of projected there, and it was kind of always this, hey, you know, we think they can do it this year. the Rangers, it was not on anyone's radar in spring training. And even as the summer went on, it was this impossible dream of let's just win the division and see what happens, maybe get lucky, and to take down the biggest dragon of all, the Yankees, who are so in the Rangers' head historically. It's just, I mean, you know, I've said this a million times on our show, Sean. It's just it's such a fairy tale that's been, and if they can get four more wins, I mean, no more fairy tale than that.
And Bob, we could, you know, obviously we've been breaking down this game so far, and it's been a bit of a pep rally around here with the great crowd cheering. And obviously, you know, we have a number of days before game one of the World Series to really look at this one. And I asked Norm and I asked Craig this, and I know you grew up in Wisconsin as a Brewers fan, and that too is a franchise that's never had a lot of success. But obviously, Craig was a junior Ranger. Norm has been covering this team since it began. What does this mean to you? And obviously, you've been here for over a decade, and you've covered the team. This has to have a special place in your heart as well.
Oh, there's no doubt. I got here, I believe, a couple days before the Todd Van Poppel trade back in '98, and I got to see the '98 and '99 playoff runs and the fun times there. But then, you know, just the gradual decline of relevance from 2000 on to a point where, I kind of got beaten down by Rangers baseball. I didn't grow up on it, but I grew up on the equivalent of it up in Milwaukee. I mean, we had a team that would go, 18-10 in September, and it would give us all false hope that next year was going to be different. But
and also a club that never traditionally has had very good pitching, just like this Ranger club.
Absolutely, and a team that the highest moment in their team's history is winning the American League pennant in 1982, and they never made it past that. So I'm really anxious to see the Rangers, not to look the gift horse in the mouth here, but I'd love to see the Rangers close that deal, because in the end, only one team is truly happy. We're going to soak this in and enjoy tonight, but I just think that this team has now proven that they're not scared of any stage, they're not scared of any situation, and they're able to rise up. There's so many storylines. I mean, for Colby Lewis, and I think I even heard you guys talk about it already, just the retrospect idiocy of guys like me wondering how you promise a guy like Colby Lewis, fresh out of Hiroshima.
No, I was right there with you, Bob. I was right there with
you. That just seemed dubious at best. They did that. CJ becoming a starter. We're a long way from Feldman and Harden as we leave spring training as our 1-2 or 2-1, however you want to say it. But even tonight, in a August, September, and October, where we kind of wondered about Vladdy Daddy, for him to drive in the first run and then go on that jump. It's absolutely awesome to see Vlad come through, and then the reports after the game that Nelson Cruz was kind of challenging him in the on-deck circle about, you're not going to let them do that to you, when they would walk Hamilton, and Vladdy jumps on it, and then to see Nelly Cruz prove that he's in pretty good health, just launched one into the center field bleachers. Just such an awesome night. And the biggest thing that jumps out at me in this series, guys, is this. If you would have told me that the Rangers were going to beat the Yankees, I didn't think it was necessarily likely, but I didn't think it was impossible. I will tell you what's impossible, though, and I know officially they did get a save because Darren Oliver had one, but the fact that they won four games from the Yankees without a real save situation is just boggles the mind. That Neftali certainly made appearances in this series, but never did he make one with a sphincter tightening, two men on, one man out in the bottom of the ninth trying to hold on, or at the top of the ninth trying to hold on to a one-run lead or something like that. That never happened, and that's just so unlikely to win four games with some level of breathing space. That's crazy.
Bob Sturm joining us here on Diamond Talk. After a Rangers 6-1 win over the New York Yankees in Game 6 of the ALCS, yes, those are your American League pennant champions, Texas Rangers, heading to the World Series. Yeah, Bob, I just can't get enough of saying that. You know, after living here since 1985, it is just amazing. And you talk about having a rookie closer in this season, in the whole season, being able to get it done. And then the thing that still amazes me, and I was actually on vacation when this happened,
the Rangers got Cliff Lee. Could you, in your wildest dreams, ever think that the guy that everybody else wanted in the league became a Texas Ranger midway through the year?
Yeah, and what's crazier about that, Stu, the fact that that happened and that they beat the Yankees for that, or the fact that that's only like the fifth craziest thing that happened this summer. I mean, if you take the fact, I mean, the baseball encyclopedia is filled with things that make guys like us shake our head in disbelief that that really happened, whether it's Eddie Goodell or whether it's, you know, I mean, there's a million things in baseball history that you're like, no way, that never happened. The fact that you had a cocaine incident with your manager, that could never happen in a season like this. A bankruptcy hearing with an all-night court session, that could never happen. A guy falling out of the upper deck and living to tell about it, that could never happen. I mean, just all these things that happened this season are so stinking ridiculous. And, you know, just heck, the idea that A-Rod takes strike three to end the ALCS.
Right.
I mean, this is so right out of a script. It's ridiculous. I can't believe how symmetrical and how, just begging for a bestseller this whole season has been. And just the story of a franchise that was being run by Major League Baseball. It was in such an inept financial state. And now, you know, they probably have money coming out of their ears because everybody needs an Antler shirt. Which, by the way, did you see on the ALCS champion T-shirts? They have claw and antlers kind of woven into the design.
Really? No, I didn't see those yet.
Yeah, it looks like that's on the official ALCS championship T-shirt. Which now I don't mind the advertisements running so much for them.
You think they're going to make some money off that, Bob?
You know, and more power to him. You know, I part of me wanted to see a camera dedicated to Mark Teixeira tonight. I never got that. I wanted to see one on Tom Hicks tonight. There's so many, you know, and it's not, I'm sure they're reasonable human beings, but there's just so many elements to the story that it's such a great sports moment. And I agree with Junior. You know, when the Cowboys win, it's generally preceded by like 5 years of hype that the Cowboys are ready to win. And just to see these guys and everyone, including me, just taking verbal shots at them and just, you know, it's kind of our Bad News Bears and just this sad sack franchise that can't even get out of its own way. To see them rise up and not need, I mean, it all happened organically. They didn't need some hype machine telling us, here come the Rangers. They just did it. They even had this slogan that was mocked in March about it's time. I mean, and time for what? You're being run by the league. You're in bankruptcy. That's ridiculous. And yet, in the end, it's the most genius marketing slogan ever.
Yeah, it turned out to be pretty genius. Before we let you go, Bob, and I know we want to relish this incredible moment tonight, but looking ahead with a fully rested bullpen and a fully rested rotation and the uncertainty of Cliff Lee, you know, being a Ranger in 2011, do you consider the idea of possibly starting him three times in the Fall Classic?
Absolutely, if he's up for it. And that, you know, Dan was telling me a couple weeks ago that he wasn't necessarily up for short rest earlier on when it was at least bandied about in maybe a media session, like, you know, the 3 days respite and all that. And I assume, you know, 1-4-7 might not be something that is a great appeal to a player, but if he's on board, which is very important and
sure,
sometimes not considered, but if he's on board, absolutely. You know, the other thing I think about is this lineup we've fallen in love with, and as maddening as Vladdy is in the fourth spot, obviously in the National League Park, you're going to have a lineup decision to make, and maybe Nelson Cruz will be batting cleanup, and you'll have Vladdy off the bench, or do you try to sneak him out there into the outfield? These are decisions we never thought we'd have to consider. But lo and behold, games 1 and 2 are going to be in a National League city with no DH, so that will burn a segment or two right there. It should be fascinating.
Bob, we have a lot to talk about before Wednesday, and I can't thank you enough for jumping on a special night like this, my friend.
Anytime. Soak it in. I remember the Stars post-game shows outside Reunion Arena when they were on their Stanley Cup Finals run, and it was some of the most awesome connection with the fans that you'd ever have, so enjoy that.
Thanks, Bob. You have a good night and be safe. We'll talk to you, my friend.
That
is Bob the Sterminator Sturm joining us here on Diamond Talk. Sean Bass and Stu Cedar, hard by the Temple at the Youth Ballpark, as the Ranger fans celebrate a 6-1 win over the Yankees, an AL pennant, and a first-ever trip to the World Series. Right now it's 11:15. Coming up next, we'll keep the party going and take your calls at 214-787-1310 as we celebrate deep into the night. An American League pennant edition of Diamond Talk on Sports Radio 1310. The ticket, Sean Bass and Stuart Cedar, live at the Youth Ballpark after Game 6 of the American League Championship Series as the Rangers beat the Yankees soundly tonight, 6-1, taking Game 6. That four-run fifth highlighted by a two-run double by Vladimir Guerrero. And the very next batter, Nelson Cruz, goes yard to left center, a two-run bomb. And at that point, the Rangers really pulled away. They did have a 1-0 lead for about 4.5 innings. The Yankees pushed across a run in the fifth as A-Rod scored on a, I'm going to call it a BS wild pitch because it did skip and hit the leg of Nick Swisher. But the Rangers responded immediately in their half of the inning. They tacked on one more in the seventh. Bases loaded with one out. Ian Kinsler nearly got a hold of one, but he lifts the sack fly to left to add icing on the cake, 6-1. Colby Lewis tonight, oh my goodness, 8 innings, 1 run, 7 Ks, 3 strikeout or 3 walks and 3 hits.
12 up, 12 down.
Yeah, and you know, the shutdown inning in the 6th was gigantic, and to strike out the side in the 8th inning was absolutely huge. The place was just going banana pants tonight. 51,404, the 4th biggest crowd ever, but definitely the loudest crowd I've ever heard in Arlington. And Nefty comes in the 9th and strikes out A-Rod for the final out. It doesn't get any better than that. This entire summer and this entire journey has been just an absolutely surreal experience, and it's just going to get even more surreal, whether it's the Phillies or the Giants in the Fall Classic. You'll be able to turn on your television or show up here to the ballpark knowing that, yes, this is the World Series, and no, this is not a dream.
No, it isn't. And by the way, you know, for Colby Lewis, 102 pitches, 34 balls, 68 strikes, okay? 12 up, 12 down. You know, they didn't get a hit until the fifth inning on Colby Lewis when A-Rod got that hit, two-base hit. The start was just ridiculous.
Yes.
I mean, it really was. You know, you're able to, you know, throw Curtis Granderson out. Then you get the big double play
on
Robinson Cano, and that was an absolute shot that Ian Kinsler, you know, was... You know, we saw Michael Young try to ole one earlier, and it didn't work, but he ole'd that one, and it went right in the glove and was able to, you know, do that 4-6-3, and that was huge at that part of the game.
And I know we're really excited. Exactly, and that's why that might be the most underrated moment of the night, because, you know, in a 1-0 game and with a patient lineup like the Yankees that grind and fight, and then an MVP candidate in Robinson Cano bounces into a 4-6-3, that was a giant... That stemmed the tide like you would not believe, and just kept the momentum going, kept the crowd into it, and it was just a magnificent night. 6-1 victory over the Yankees tonight as we are handed beers as we celebrate, and I'm sure your ALCS MVP Josh Hamilton had himself a nice ginger ale shower. He was presented the trophy after the game as we crack open our beers and we toast the first ever trip to the World Series. Thank you so much to whoever brought us the beers tonight. But
you want some over your head like I just did myself?
You know what? I'm not going to put any over my head like you. Oh, my God, you really just did that. You know who else got a shower tonight on the field was manager Ron Washington. He spoke to the media after this one, and let's listen to a little bit of that right now on Diamond Talk.
First of all, congratulations to the New York Yankees. They had a good club. You know, someone had to win and someone had to lose. But, you know, they certainly play it with the heart of a champion. And I certainly hope that my club can pull things together for as long a period of time as they have. Colby Lewis was outstanding. You know, I know there was some doubters out there, but we watched this guy pitch for us all year, and we knew he was capable of throwing that type of game that he went out there and threw tonight, and we certainly need it. And, you know, our guys came through. I love that team because all they do is show up and play baseball.
Okay, up on the stage, Ron.
Wash, was there ever any sense through the game that you felt like it was in hand? It looked like in the fifth inning the players had sort of a pep to their step, a little pepper to throwing the ball around after they had scored several runs. Did you get that sense at all?
No. You know, we are aware that the game isn't over till you get the 27 out. They did a lot of good things out there. They should have been happy. They should have been full of joy. But their focus never wavered. So, you know, that's the way we play. We play with a lot of energy. We certainly don't play trying to show anyone up. When we do something good, we appreciate it. We give people accolades for that. But no, my team never once thought that game was in hand, especially when you play a team like the New York Yankees. We knew we had to get 27. We knew we had to keep putting the pressure on. We knew we had to keep playing baseball, and they certainly did that.
Okay, up on stage again.
Wash, if you had a chance to see any of the National League Championship Series yet, and the Phillies and the Giants, and who would you like?
Well, I saw the Giants in Philly last night, the first game I had an opportunity to watch. It really doesn't matter. You know, we're here, and wherever we have to go, we're going to take our bags, we're going to pack them up, and we're just going to go continue to play baseball.
11:28 on Sports Radio 1310. The Ticket. That is the manager of your American League champion Texas Rangers, the old school brother Ron Washington, speaking to the media after beating the Yankees 6-1 in Game 6 of this American League Championship Series. And you know, I think he said it best there at the very end. Phillies, Giants, it doesn't really matter.
Just pack your bags and they're going to go and move forward.
And, you know, you're going to hear, you know, people saying, oh, well, I'd rather have this team for this reason or this team for this reason. Let's just enjoy these few days before Wednesday in Game 1 and just sit back and just count our blessings for even being here for the first time. And, you know, I mean, if you really want to ask the question now, I would maybe tilt Giants right now just because their offense hasn't shown the consistency over the year. But that pitching staff and that bullpen might be one of the most complete in baseball.
Yeah, and the Phillies, you know, have been there before.
Sure.
So they'll have the experience.
And that rotation.
Yeah, exactly.
Scary.
And that rotation has been terrific. But
those are problems for a different day.
That's true. But the Yankees had the experience, too, and it didn't matter in this series, did it?
Not
at all. So, you know, right now I think Ron Washington is correct. We're just going to pack our bags and we're going to enjoy this run.
You know, as I look across the way over at the Death Star, you know, just gleaming tonight, but not gleaming nearly as much as the Temple, especially on a night like tonight, I think about Wade Phillips, and I like Wade Phillips, and I know he's a player's coach, and I know he has the best intentions, but he just can't lead. And I think the guy we just heard from at the podium, Ron Washington, you might not always agree with some of his small ball tactics, the way he handles his bullpen. But really,
well, you can go back to like when he brought Feliz in,
sure.
You know, and that probably wasn't the best decision in the eighth inning.
Well,
in that one, you know, in the Tampa Bay series,
in game three or four,
yeah.
Of the Tampa series,
you know, just things like
they
that
all run together. Yeah,
but that's what you do, and they're gonna, like Norm said earlier when we had him on, they're gonna second guess Joe Girardi all day long.
They're gonna second guess Joe Girardi. The Twins are gonna second guess Ron Gardenhire. A guy like Tony La Russa, who's won multiple World Series, is second guessed all the time as he stays in St. Louis. Terry Francona in that baseball town of Boston, even though, you know, there's that common national perception that he's this great manager, you know, he gets second-guessed all the time because
right.
Those are baseball cities. And now that, you know, this club is winning, you notice some of the blunders of Ron Washington. And we don't, you know, hey, that's our job to be critical and evaluate what we see. But you can't discount what he means to that clubhouse just from a strict leadership standpoint, and that's where Wade Phillips is completely lacking.
Yeah, no question about it. And I thought Craig Miller, when he had him on earlier on Diamond Talk here, made a great point, and you brought it up, you know, a couple years ago when Ron Washington went to the mound and C.J. Wilson flipped him the ball and grabbed his arm and says, no, that's not how we do it in the big leagues here. You hand me the baseball. I thought about it, you know, a week ago when Mike Jenkins on the first couple plays, you know, has pass interference calls. That's the time he should have been pulling Mike Jenkins,
yes,
over to the sideline, and you stand here because we don't do that in the NFL. So stand right here. And, you know, and you're right. That would have been a similar situation,
sure,
where Wade could have said, you know, Mike, get over here. You know, this isn't how we play in the NFL. But he doesn't do that.
And, you know, Wash,
it's not about the Cowboys tonight. It's about
the
Rangers.
About the Rangers.
And by the way, the Rangers are going to the World Series!
Absolute elation here at the Tiny Temple, hard next to the ballpark. Sean Bass, Stu Cedar on Diamond Talk tonight as the Rangers beat the Yankees 6-1. And boys, back at the station, do we have Donnie standing by? And let's go to the guest line now is Bad Radio's own Donovan Lewis joins Diamond Talk. And Donnie, I know you boys had a concert tonight, but it was a watching party. And just tell me what's going through your mind and your soul right now.
You know, Seabass, I thought, you can tell I'm losing my voice right now. I've been screaming all night. I thought we were at the Temple and the Rock and Rodeo in Denton because everyone was going bananas. I don't think I've ever been this sports happy in my entire life. I've waited so long for the Rangers to get to the World Series, and it's here. And I kind of want to reiterate what you boys are talking about with Ron Washington. I can remember a couple years ago where Nolan Ryan would get all the credit for what the Rangers were doing well when they started to win more games, and all the blame would go to Ron Washington. But right now, man, I just love watching that dude go about his business because he wears his heart on his sleeve. And I think that goes over with the players also. They showed the highlights on TBS where he was trying to wheel Elvis around the third base on the first inning when they held him up, and he was more disappointed than the players. And he's over there just going bananas and you know, just wheeling everybody to this victory, man. It was so exciting to see. I just can't believe, and I wish to see them. The Rangers are going to the World Series. Well, unbelievable, man.
Well, Donnie, you know, I know this has been just an incredible storybook season for a number of reasons, and you know, there we've talked about, you know, Wash and the cocaine ordeal and the ownership thing and Cliff Lee and you name it. Just from your own perspective, what's been some of the most jaw-dropping, amazing, unlikely things that have happened throughout this incredible ride?
You know, on Bad Radio, we've been talking about the whole thing. It's a novel. It's the book. And it looks like they can have start looking for actors to play the different parts in the movie. You can maybe get Sherman Hemsley to play Ron Washington. I don't know. But I'm telling you, man, this ownership deal at the very beginning, when you hear that Major League Baseball is loaning the Rangers money so they can make payroll and make bank. And at the beginning of the year, when Feldman and Harden, they're going to be the top two pitchers in this rotation, and they're nowhere to be found, and no one cares. When Julio Barbone is leading off and Elvis is hitting ninth, and it's just not going well, you know, Ron said, you know what, we're going to shake this thing up and make a change, and he put Elvis at the beginning of the lineup, and man, that dude is such a catalyst. You said it right, C-Bass. I've been listening all the way home from Denton. And Elvis, this series has been absolutely amazing at the top of that lineup. I can go back to one of the at-bats. I can't remember what inning it was, but it was a hit and run with Moreland, and he just got the bat on the ball. He did that little thing.
That's the fifth inning.
Advanced that runner, that fifth inning. Yeah, it was a pitch where there was no way Elvis should have got to that ball, but he did, and he put it to the right side. They had no chance to get to Moreland. I'm telling you, this team has done all the little things to make this thing happen. With Francisco going down, he struggled at the beginning of the year. Ron Washington wasn't afraid to put Feliz in there. Hey, you know what, son? You get the ball, you get a chance. Make this thing happen. And 40 days later, he's striking out A-Rod to win the pennant. So it's been such a long year. Baseball is such a long season, but it's so satisfying to see all that hard work pay off. And the Rangers did it over a team that has a $210 million payroll. And the Rangers have a $55 million payroll. But guess what? All the Yankees and all that money, they're going home. It doesn't matter. It was what happened between the lines, and the Rangers did it tonight, man. This whole series, this is unbelievable. I don't think I've ever felt this way. I can officially put this over my wedding as the number one day of my life. Officially.
Donovan Lewis joining us here on Diamond Talk on Sports Radio 1310, The Ticket. So, Donovan, we have to ask you, what's going on in the community tonight?
I think there are a lot of happy community Ranger fans around here right now. It's just, man, I was in Denton and I was at the watching party, and I was going to come home to watch the game because, you know, I watched the games 2, 3, and 4 at home, so I wanted to keep that superstition alive by watching it at home.
Sure.
But I couldn't have picked a better spot to watch the game.
Well, I think
the
you could have.
Rodeo in Denton. Now we had
there was Mike one Ryan, better spot.
Dunham and I decided to tackle Ryan after the final out. We didn't get him to the ground, but you thought we hit a walk off home run because everyone was jumping up and down. I messed up his hair like Emmitt did Jimmy Johnson after the Super Bowl. And the Rockin' Rodeo in Denton is rocking right now, let me tell you.
You know, after that final out, you know, we had to be over here literally as soon as humanly possible to start right after the final out. And
I'm old, Donovan, yeah, man. I can't run like I used to.
And Stu and I are in the tunnel right behind home plate. And, you know, all we can see is nothing but backs of heads, but you can still see Nefty, you know, striking out A-Rod on a called third strike. And then you just see pandemonium. And obviously, the Ranger fan in me, since I could remember baseball and playing catch with my dad, I wanted to sit there and relish it. But it did. Part of it did kill me to not see the big pile and not see the trophy presentation and not see the on-field celebration. But I will tell you what was very liberating, though, Donnie, is, you know, we have to run across this little bridge from the home plate exit over here to the youth ballpark. And I am running like a five-year-old kid yelling, yes, yes, we did it, at the top of my lungs. And you know what? I know I had to be on the air literally moments later, but it felt so good just to run and just let it all go, man.
Man, you better believe it, man. That's what it's all about. I think baseball brings out the kid in everyone, C-Bass.
It really does.
And I don't think I've yelled woo that many times in my entire life as I did in Denton tonight. I think that's why I lost my voice. Everyone in there absolutely went bananas. I hugged so many men tonight, I don't know what to do. And I don't usually do that, but I was happy to do it, and I'll do it again.
Yeah, and you know, Donnie, it's funny. I know that, you know, you are a great one of the better football minds we have at the station with the Cowboy postgame show. You do an awesome job, and you know, I think Craig was talking about how this is the biggest sports accomplishment or the biggest sports moment in DFW history, and we're talking about a town of Dallas in the Metroplex that's won 5 Super Bowls. And I think what people tend to, I guess, forget that this is an incredible climb. This is an incredible journey. And, you know, 162 games in just one season, but you add 39 years on top of that. It makes it that much more sweet.
It makes it that much more sweet because it was so unexpected. We all knew the Cowboys were a good football team. We knew the Stars were a really good hockey team. We knew the Mavericks were a really good basketball team. Now, you know, the Rangers were improving, but there was no way at the beginning of the spring training, you thought that the Rangers would I didn't think they were going to win the division. You just automatically assume that Anaheim is the powerhouse in this division and Oakland always finds a way to win. You don't even think about the Rangers. And then, okay, the Rangers are having a good year, and I know we even discussed this on the show, C-Bass. Mm-hmm. Hey, when the Rangers had a 7-8-9 game lead, I was still worried about it because I just didn't think they were going to hold on because you're so used to disappointment around here. That's what makes it so sweet after all these years, after all these Rangers losses. Finally, you know what? And you don't go through the back door either, C-Bass. You chop down the Yankees.
That's what it's all about. That's right.
There's no fiddling around. We didn't, you know what? We didn't, the American League didn't have a down year, and you just kind of, tiptoed your way in. You slayed the dragon. And when you slay the dragon, it makes it that much more sweeter. It could not have gone down any better than A-Rod making that last out.
Donovan
Lewis. Couldn't have gone any better than that.
Donovan Lewis of Bad Radio, join us here on Diamond Talk after a Rangers 6-1 win. The Rangers are your American League champions.
Wow.
And Donovan, you know, the catch, as you've been listening all night, you know, and I can't say it enough, but I'm going to let you tell everybody that's listening out here, where are the Rangers heading, Donovan?
Okay, let me put it this way, because I've been wanting to say this since I was 8 years old. The Rangers win the pennant! The Rangers win the pennant! The Rangers win the pennant!
It feels good, doesn't it, Donovan?
Oh my gosh, I think I have a bottle of ginger ale in the garage. I'm gonna go shake it and spray it around the
yourself?
House. My wife might be a little upset, but who cares? The Rangers are going to the World Series.
Donnie, enjoy this one. We'll talk to you Monday. We'll hear you after the Cowboy game too. Monday, obviously, you and Norm.
We love you. This is for you, C-Bass. This is for you all year, baby. You've been hanging with this thing for 162 games. I'm happy for you, dog.
Donnie, this is for all of us, man. Love you. You have a good night. All right.
That'll be good.
And that is the great Donovan Lewis from Bad Radio. You can hear him noon to 3 and obviously on the Cowboys postgame show with Norm. And you know what, Stu? I'm still on cloud nine.
You should be, because it is magical. And as you said, you can't write this stuff. Mm-hmm. We are going to write about it. There's going to be books about it. There might even be movies about it. You know, it's just special. And to have it happen, you know, here at home after the fans waited so long, yes, finally for the first one, now they actually clinch it at home, the American League Championship. Just everything that has gone on. You know, you look at the roster, you know, some guys like we talked about that we were trying to depend on, Rich Harden, Scott Feldman, that aren't there anymore. And then you think about like an Alexi Ogando.
Yes.
You know, and his story, the background of that story, which is just unbelievable.
A guy that couldn't be led in the country for 5 years.
Exactly. And he's one of your guys that has been so important this season. And it is just mind-boggling how special it is. But it's 50 years for the entire franchise, and, you know, just since 1972 here in the Dallas-Fort Worth area. So all this pent-up frustration and exercising all the demons has finally come to a head here in 2010.
And, you know, one thing I want to get to real quick, and I don't want to, you know, not mention this tonight. I know we're all just beyond happy with 2010. We're going to the World Series, but let's all take a look back at what happened last year. Last year, 2009, was a season that sort of got us ready for this. It was a year of building. It was a year of stepping forward. It was a year of finally getting in second place and not your typical third or fourth place finish.
Right.
And I know this was out of nowhere, and especially with the circumstances, with the ownership situation, but let's not discredit what 2009 meant to this thing, because I'm not saying you could see this coming, but mm-hmm. last year was a major stepping stone, and let's not forget how great 2009 was too.
Yeah, agreed, and it's just fantastic for the Ranger fans. We got a ton of them out here, you know, celebrating, throwing up the antlers, throwing up the claws. And we're going to be here until they tell us to basically go home. That might be 1-3 o'clock in the morning. I don't care, because this is one thing that everybody in the Dallas-Fort Worth area, everybody in the state of Texas can actually agree on.
Yes.
We've never, ever experienced this. And you don't get that chance ever to be able to say to your neighbor, we can all share in this together and we're all one. There's no question about it, that Ranger fans are all one tonight.